name is written on your heart. That's why we have dominion and authority. Okay? So, I'll pray and then I'll get started. Father, I thank you for your covenant. I thank you for your blessing. And Father, I thank you that right now I just plead the blood of Jesus over this place. I plead the blood of Jesus over every household of everyone in this place. And Father, I thank you that no harm can come near our dwellings or near us. Father, your son Jesus spoke to the storms and they had to obey us. So right now, I tell you, storms, no destruction will come near the dwelling of a born-again child of the Most High God in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that you have anointed me to bring forth the good news. And Father, I thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is on me and your words flow out of me like rivers of living water in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk about covenant, but the scripture I'm going to use is John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's purpose of a covenant is to establish a relationship which is impossible to break. Okay? The covenant has procedures and customs which guarantee the relationship between us and God. Lauren, turn this mic off. And it has both curses to discourage breaking it and blessings to keep, to make you want to keep them, okay? So establishing a covenant agreement is the closest thing that man can do to obtain the degree of loyalty that God has towards us. Okay, so that's why it's so important for us to know the covenant. Now, because of what I should, don't ever forget that what's written on your heart. Because in your heart, there's a covenant that's written. Okay? So, God's covenant and his motivation for keeping his word is love. That's the main reason. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." So, see, you know, God's integrity is completely dependent on his own character. It's not dependent on our character. It's dependent on his character. And God's love entails loyalty that is true even towards those who are disloyal to him. In other words, God is faithful to his word even when we are unfaithful to him. Now, think about that. In the natural. See, we don't understand covenant because we love conditionally in the natural. Well, I'll do this if you'll do that. And how many people, how many people say, "Well, you mean you'd do that to me after all I've done for you?" But God doesn't say that. And see, our response should be to God, "How could I do that, God, for all you've done for me?" See what I'm saying? Because he's done everything for us. Okay, he's made everything possible to us. Okay? So, the quantity of God's love and the quality of his love is so much different than human love. And I'm going to talk about a word here in a minute that the English language has no definition for it. Okay? So, a human love without covenant is always self-preservation or self-protection. And that's just human nature. Well, I've got to protect myself. You know, I mean, when you go into covenant, or you'd write up a legal agreement. See, these people would cut their hands and it would be a blood covenant. And it was more binding than anything written on paper. But nowadays, people write up legal agreements and they're figuring out how they can get out of this. But when a blood covenant, the only way to get out of it was death, okay? And when you broke that covenant, it meant it was the death sentence. And that is how a lot of our laws have come in to play. I mean, because of the covenant, that's where we got the Ten Commandments, okay? Okay, so human love is never totally unselfish, right? We're always thinking, well, what am I going to receive from this? And, you know, it's like I've heard people say, you know, a lot of people when they get married, they look at somebody and say, well, when I marry them, they will fulfill me in this area. But that's not right. Because if I married Terry for what she could fulfill for me, then that's all wrong. See, I was doing it in a selfish way. But whenever we come into covenant, I bring everything that I have and I give it to Terry, and she brings everything she has and gives it to me unconditionally. It doesn't matter whether she treats me right or wrong, my love is unconditional. And see, that's hard for us to understand in the human language, okay? But God's love gives and it gives and it gives, not even having anything in return, okay? Now, the Hebrew word, God's love, it's called hesed. And now, Satan, right now, in the name of Jesus, we've bound this hell. Right now, we're not going to put up with it. And Satan, you're not going to affect this service in Jesus' name. We plead a hedge of protection over those vehicles. We're not moved by it. So, anyway, the new covenant, the hesed, there's no definition for it in the English language. And that's why talking about in the Navajo code talkers in World War II, their language was never broken. Why is that? Because, like, I remember watching a documentary on the Navajo code talkers, and they were trying to figure out how to describe, like, a tank. Well, there was no definition for tank in the Navajo language. So they would take animals that they knew and compare it to whatever a tank or an aircraft or whatever, and that's how they would describe it. That's why nobody could understand. They couldn't break that code. And that's the thing. The Bible is written in what? Greek and Hebrew. Okay? So it's hard to translate a Greek and Hebrew in English. Right? So, hesed can't be translated in English. So, what it means, hesed is God's unconditional love. It's loyalty beyond measure. There's nothing that you can do to make God not love you. There's nothing you have ever done to make God turn away from you. The thing about it, and that's what's hard for the Westerners to understand. We don't understand covenant, so it's hard for us to think, well, why would God heal me? I don't deserve it. No, you don't deserve it. It's God's love that done it for you. That's why people have a hard time. Why would God want to bless me? I don't deserve it. It ain't what you deserve. It's God's hesed or God's love towards you that brings the covenant to us, okay? So, the new covenant, word, a Greek word, is equivalent to agape. You know, whenever Peter denied Jesus, you know, and Jesus said to him three times, Stephanie and Larry and I talked about this last week, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And what he was saying, do you agape me or do you hesed me? And Peter said, well, I love you. He was saying, I love you, the feeling of love. And see, that's why human nature, that's how they, well, yeah, if it feels like it, I love you. And Jesus said, no, Peter, do you love me? Do you hesed me? Do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? No matter what, do you love me? And Peter said, well, Lord, you know I love you. But he still was going on that feeling. So Jesus said, okay, Peter, do you love me? Jesus went down to Peter's level. See, and he met Peter where he was. Okay, but you can see that as Peter developed, he got to that unconditional love. You see what I'm saying? And that's how we're supposed to be. So you know, there's words in the Hebrew Bible, or in the Hebrew language, and in the Greek language that the English language can't even translate. That's like, you know, whenever Star Trek was going and they'd hold up their hands like this. I was just a kid. I thought, well, that's a weird deal. They didn't understand. They didn't know how to translate it, right? But Leonard Nimoy, he was Jewish, and he knew that he was pronouncing a blessing. They were pronouncing a blessing. When I go up to Pauline and do that, pronouncing prosperity and long life on you. See, that's in your heart. So you got, what's God saying? I will satisfy you with long life. I will satisfy you. That's in your heart. We have to become covenant-minded. And here's the thing. This is so important that whenever we gave our life to Christ, that's when we entered into a covenant with Him, right? That's when our heart became brand new. And you know what? Whenever you gave your life to Christ, up until you gave your life, have you been doing everything just right? Was you receiving your salvation based on how good you were? And that's what I was reading a deal of Oral Roberts. And Oral Roberts had a great healing ministry. And he said so many times in religion, they'll say, well, in order for you to be healed, you need to change this and change that. You know what one of the songs that Brother Oral Roberts played when he'd have a healing line? Come just as you are. Because, see, it didn't matter how you came. It's not on what you have done, but it's what's been done for you. Okay? You know, so many times, God sends somebody our way to help us, to mature, to help us down the road or something. And yet, what does the, even in a marriage, I mean, here's the thing. So many times, I mean, there's not anyone in here that's married that hadn't had trouble. There's not anyone in here that's married that hasn't had an argument, hadn't had a disagreement. Why is that? Because the devil is trying to break that covenant, right? Really, a marriage covenant, you know, it says the two become one. Well, whenever we ask Christ into our heart, that's just like a marriage. We became one with Him, okay? Because He entered into our hearts. And, you know, it's just like we need to understand what covenant's all about. Because when we understand what covenant is all about, we won't have any problem receiving our healing. Whenever we understand what covenant's about, whenever we have a need, we won't have any problem saying, Father, your word says that you shall supply all I have need of according to your riches and glory. Whenever you pray to God, and you think, the devil said, well, that prayer didn't go any higher than the ceiling. How high does it have to go? Your heart. Whose name's written on your heart? I mean, physically evident that God's written on your heart. Okay? John 15:12. says, "This is my covenant, that you love one another as I have loved you." You know, God's covenant is a covenant of love. I mean, and the thing about it is, whenever we love someone, we love them. What kind of love do we love them with? Hesed, or agape, unconditional love. It doesn't matter if Terry and I have an argument or have a disagreement. I still got to love her. I've made covenant with her, right? So that's the kind. I mean, that's light in comparison to how God loves us. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, how does faith work? Faith worketh by love. Everything in the kingdom of God has to work by love. Right? God is love. Jesus is love. Okay? I want to kind of talk to you about a covenant, and it's in 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. It says, "And it came to pass that when he made an end of speaking to Saul," this is Saul, "that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, and even his sword, and to his bow and his girdle." Now, there again, in the natural, that love, that doesn't even explain the love that Jonathan and David had. It was unconditional. Lauren, put verse 4 back up there. Now, here's why it's important that we know what covenant is. It says, "Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his garments, even his sword, and to his bow and his girdle." Leave that up there. Now, here's the deal. When Jesus went to the cross, what was stripped off of him? His clothes, his robe. Why was his robe stripped off of him? For us. Gave us the robe of righteousness. This is that covenant. Okay. Have you ever heard the war weapons of our warfare? They're not carnal, but they're mighty through Christ for pulling down the strongholds. When Jesus went to the cross, he gave us his weapons. You see what I'm saying? And that's why it said, if you read about, do you know where that is in the Bible, Pauline scripture, that is? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What it is, somebody Google that and you can give it to me here in a second. But just remember, just think about that. When David and Jonathan cut covenant, they shared everything. They were so closely knit that they were like one man, okay? Has anybody had a real good friend that you kept nothing from them? Anything you had was theirs, and anything they had was yours. Okay? But and then something might have come up, and that friendship be totally destroyed. Well, I tell you what, the guy that I work for, he and I had that friendship, that whatever was his, I could use, and whatever was mine was his. Now, whenever I quit him, should that disconnect that? No, and it didn't. See, to this day, I haven't worked for him for going on a year and a half. And still, when he calls me, whatever I've got that he needs, it's available to him. And same thing with me. Whatever he's got that I need, it's available to him. So here's the deal. Whenever in this covenant between David and Jonathan, it's likened to Christ and us. Okay? Everything in the Old Testament is just a picture of what's to come. Okay? So we know that as we read the story about David, that we know how close David and Jonathan were. Okay? And we also know that how Saul allowed offense to come in. Right? And that's what the devil tries to do. He tries to bring offense in. That's why it's so important that in the body of Christ, in the church, that we do not allow strife in the church. That's why it's important in a family that you do everything possible to keep strife out of it. Because where there's strife and envy, what's the Bible say? There's every evil work of the enemy. If the devil can bring strife in, if he can bring offense in, he's getting you off. He's getting you off the blessing, okay? So here's the deal. Saul allowed bitterness to come in. And what did Saul do? He started spreading lies about David. Does that sound like the devil? I mean, how many of you have ever heard, well, healing's not for today. You know, God used to heal, but no, it's not for today. That speaking in tongues, that was during the day of Pentecost. It's not for, well, the Bible says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, you tell me when God changed. He said, I change not. So, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but if God said it, I believe I'll take His word for it instead of yours. Okay? So, the thing about this, so Saul, he spread a lie that David was out to destroy Saul's kingdom. He spread the lie that he was out to kill every descendant of Saul, right? But think about this. What was David sent there for? To comfort Saul, wasn't he? Now that's just like the devil, right? David would play his harp and he would worship and he'd minister, right? And Saul, peace would come over Saul. Well, then the devil would speak in Saul's ear and Saul throw a spear at him and try to kill him. I thought, man, that's, as Brother Hagin would say, that's ignorance gone to seed. I mean, he's trying to steal, trying to kill the one somebody sent to help you. Okay? But the devil, he had deceived Saul. And he kept spreading that lie, and kept spreading that lie. Well, anyway, we know that Jonathan died, right? And Saul died, so David, what did he become? He became king, right? But Saul had told that lie and spread that lie so much that the descendants of Saul thought that David's main goal was to kill every one of them, to wipe them off the face of the earth. I mean, does that sound familiar today? The devil selling the lies. Then look at the people buying them. Well, this isn't a godly nation. Well, I can't say what I'd like to say, but the devil is selling a lie, but it's up to us to believe the truth. See? And that's what... But the love that David had for Jonathan was so unconditional that Saul thought that David was trying to destroy his kingdom, but David was the only loyal person to Saul in the whole kingdom. Everybody was doing things for Saul to benefit themselves, or they were using Saul to climb the ladder. But David was loyal unto death. And David defended himself, but he never killed Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. And remember that Saul was after David in the army, and David hid in the cave, and Saul come in there to take a leak, and David crawled up behind him and cut a bit of hem of his garment off. Well, David could have killed him. But David was bound by the covenant that he made with Jonathan. Now, how many of you, if somebody trying to kill you, and if I was trying to kill you and I was in the cave taking a leak, how many of you would cut the hem off my britches? Oh, every one of you would stab me in the back, wouldn't you? But that's human nature, right? So I'm trying to tell you, God's love is unconditional. David was an example of Christ. But he'd been done wrong. Saul done him wrong, done him dirty, lied about it. Well, how dare them say that about me? See, David wasn't looking at what was said. He was remembering his covenant that he cut with Jonathan. Okay? So, anyway, after Saul died, and I think it's 2 Samuel 9:1. Okay. David was sitting and he was just thinking. He was thinking about his covenant with Jonathan. Okay? And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Did I give you any more, Lauren or Sam? Huh? Okay. Okay, so, and leave that there. And so David, he was thinking about the covenant, okay? And he said, "Is there anyone left in Saul's house that I can show my kindness to?" What was that hesed word, that undying loyalty, unconditional love. I mean, just think about this. Jonathan was the only one that was loyal to David, right? Saul had done everything he could to destroy David, to kill him. He had spread that lie throughout his whole family. But David was thinking about the covenant that he had with Jonathan. So here's the deal. Whatever you're going through, it don't matter how bad it is. It don't matter how big a mistake you made. Jesus is just like David. He's sitting there and he said, "Is there anyone in the house of Abraham?" See, we're children of Abraham, that I can show my blessing to. Is there anyone? Are you a child of Abraham? Well, God's looking to bless you. He's looking to restore to you what the devil stole. Okay, go to, okay, it says in that, and so anyway, somebody said, "Well, there's a little crippled boy. Mephibosheth or something like that." It was Jonathan's son. And see, Saul had spread so much hate and discontent that and whenever they went to flee, that a maid picked up the little boy and started running and dropped him and crippled him. How many times has someone done something because of a lie that crippled someone that's supposed to be? Okay, just for example, how many times has religion crippled someone from receiving the full blessing that God has in store for them? I mean, do you think that's crippled? Well, God doesn't heal today. Well, that's BS. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, God, what makes you think that I can reap 100-fold? Because God said I can. So, but see, that little boy was crippled. Okay, so it says, David went down, or he sent somebody down, or David went down, and he said, told that little boy, said, "Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for whose sake? Jonathan's sake, thy father's. And will restore to thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread from my table continually." That's part of that's a shadow of our covenant. See, that's what Jesus said. Okay. Fear not. Don't, like I said, I mean, that the devil was trying to get us all worked up with what was going on out there. But the Bible says, fear not. Jesus said, "I came to restore to you what your father," our father is God. Right? Whenever we ask Christ in our heart, our Father became God, right? So Jesus saying, "I came to restore to you all the land of Abraham." Father Abraham, right? What did, was Abraham sick? We don't see that in the Bible. Was he poor? I mean, at 100 years old, he had Isaac. And then he went on after Sarah died, and I think he had 6 more kids. So with long life, I'll satisfy you. Has God changed? Is your covenant still the same? Yeah. We got to quit thinking, as Kenneth Copeland would say, with our carnal mind, which is a meathead. We got to think spiritually minded. See, that's why it's so important that whenever we receive, ask Christ into our heart, we receive all of salvation. See, whenever we ask Christ into our heart, we receive the Spirit of God. But we may not receive the fullness of the Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. But, I mean, the thing about it is, whenever we receive the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's what I was telling you. Whenever Stephanie and I were talking one day about reading the Bible, and I mean, believe it or not, and I know you guys probably find this hard to believe, but when I read, I had a hard time understanding the things. I mean, I could read Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat, and probably have screwed it up trying to figure it out. But whenever I got to reading the Bible, I told my sister, I said, the way I understand the Bible is I pray in the Spirit first. It's written in Greek and Hebrew. I couldn't tell you the first thing about Greek and Hebrew. But this, what is the Spirit of God? He's the teacher, right? It's a Prince of Peace. So whenever I pray in the Spirit and then I read a passage, first of all, what I've done, I say, okay, so Lord, you're going to have to show me what you're saying here. That's how I can understand what's said in the Word. It's not by my knowledge, but it's by allowing God to speak through me. And that's why we were created spirit, soul, and body. But when Adam sinned, it got all flipped around. That's why it's so important that we learn to be led by the Spirit. I mean, I've already proved to you that God's written on your heart. The blessing's written on your heart. See, it's written inside of you. When the devil's trying to steal it, think about that. God loved you so much that he wrote his name inside of you. Well, I'm just a worthless old sinner. It's not what God says. It's not how God sees you. He wrote his name on your heart. Start seeing yourself how God sees you. Okay? But anyway, we know that the little boy, he was so afraid. Whenever David showed up or whenever David sent one of his guys to get him, he was so afraid that David come to kill him. And what David was doing was coming to restore back to him. See, and that's that theology or whatever. Well, God put this on you to teach you a lesson. Man, that doesn't add up with God's Word. It doesn't add up. And if somebody that is teaching that, man, they're either not reading the Word or it's, I don't know. I can't figure out where they're getting that at. But that's old religion. But God has never punished anybody. Whenever we get under the curse, under the Old Testament, when we got under the curse, what was it from? From disobeying God. Now, the law's not been done away with, has it? But the curse of the law has. So when we sin, what are we supposed to do? Confess our sins. As soon as we confess our sins, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. There we are. We're right back in right standing. So the devil, he wants to condemn us and he wants to keep us down in the dirt and the grime and all that, the filth. You know what I'm saying? But God's, everything he's doing, he's trying to raise us up. I was watching a deal And this mom gave birth to a baby. Now, this mother had to be covenant-minded. And the reason I'm saying that, because I was watching it, and it was about the covenant. And the baby, whenever the doctor delivered it, he told her it was dead. She got up. And she took that baby, and that baby was just as black could be. She started singing praises and praising God, and it wasn't long until that baby started crying. We got to know what our covenant rights are. Long life. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Why is that? Quit fighting with your own natural weapons and fight with the weapons that God gave you, well, that He exchanged with you. Okay? So, the boy was so brainwashed. Now, how many of you guys in here, if I told everybody, every time I come in contact with somebody, I'd say, you know that old Pauline? She's as worthless as can be. All she's trying to do is steal everything that I've got. She's undermining me everywhere I turn. I mean, all she wants is my kingdom. And I brainwash my little boy or my ancestors. Then I die. And Pauline, you think Pauline could come? Somebody who's, I use Pauline for an example because she's a good woman. But in the natural, could Pauline go to my descendants after everything I'd badmouthed? In the natural, she wouldn't want to. But could she? Yeah, why? Because God said she can. Because David did it, Christ did it, we can do it. Okay? So, David was so driven by his loyalty that he was pursuing with such a great desire of a descendant of Saul so he could bless him. Now think about that. Jesus desire to bring man right back into right covenant with God was so great. He knew what he was going to go through. That's why in the garden he said, my God, or not, he said, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, but if not, so be it. So he knew what he was going through. So, I'll close with this, and this may be a 30-minute closing. But so, when you see the depth of loyalty in a covenant relationship, we will begin to understand God's loyalty and devotion to us. Think about that. God's loyalty and devotion to us. I mean, all the things, all the ornery things that I did, God loved me so much. Jesus loved me that much. Jesus said, I'll go and be Gavins. I'll go and I'll stand in the place. I'll be judged for Gavins. He said that about every one of us. But the devil tries to say, well, I'm so unworthy. It ain't about what you've done. It's about what you've accepted. About what you've received. Okay? So, God's love towards you and the blessings He bestows on you are not based on your conduct. Your health and healing is not based on your conduct. If you've got an addiction that you're wanting to get rid of, it's not based on your conduct. It's based on what Christ did for you. See? It's unmerited. That hesed, that it's unconditional. That's what the human mind has a hard time getting a hold of that. It's unconditional. God's love for us is unconditional. God's covenant with us is based strictly on His overwhelming desire to love us and to give to us everything that He promised Adam. Just think about that. Whenever someone's hurt you, and this is what's hard, when someone's hurt you, I was sitting back there this morning, you know, and if somebody's cut you to the core, boy, it's real easy to want to be do like Saul, right? I thought, man, we need to, you know, as the Psalms it says, Selah, sit there and think about it for a little bit. Think about how unconditionally God loves us, you know. And whenever we can think about that and we consider the depth of the love that God has for us, it makes it a lot easier for me to love Pauline. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's not anyone in here that the devil doesn't try to tear you down, get you off course. And you know, like an older friend of mine said, you can learn a lot more by listening than you can by talking. And I, you know, Terry, she'll ask me something and she'll say, now I'm going to let you think about it because I know you're not going to answer me real quick. I used to answer quick. And I'm a real quick learner. It took me about 25 years to get to where I didn't answer real quick. See, we've been married 34, so she may have a perfect marriage here in about another 25 years. But, you know, be quick to listen. That's why it's so important for us to become spiritual minded. Because if Denise does something to offend me, the devil would want me to lash back at Denise. But what does the Spirit want me to do? Build Denise up. That's what's hard in the natural. It's not hard in the spiritual realm, but it's hard in the natural. So just like David and Jonathan's covenant had an unending loyalty. See, Jonathan's death didn't end the covenant, did it? Jonathan was dead. But the covenant went down to Jonathan's boy. Okay? So the Bible says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So what? That the blessing, that's not a period, so that the blessing of Abraham could come upon you. Abraham's dead. Is his blessing ended, Abraham? Did it end at Isaac? Did it end at Jacob? It went all the way down to Jesus. Jesus had to die so you and I could walk in the blessing of Abraham. See, we got to start thinking different. And like Anna Dale Hatch said, first you got to get a hold of it, like catching a possum. Like she was going to bake a possum, but first she had to catch it. Well, if we want to walk in the blessing of Abraham, the first thing we got to do is get a hold of how much He loves us. It's unconditional. It's not about what you did to deserve it, but it's about what He did to make you righteous. Okay? So, I'm going to pray. But I want everyone in here, as I'm praying, I want you to just think about the unconditional love that God has. And if there's something that you need in here, if it's healing, if it's finances, while you're thinking about that unconditional love, you need to think about Jesus came to restore back to you everything that Adam had. And it was paid for in Jesus' blood. So just have you got something, Lauren, just turn it on real low. And I want you to just think about the unconditional love. You can't receive nothing by your good merit. And you can't receive, you're not going to not receive it because you screwed up. You're going to receive it because you believe in that unconditional love, that unmerited thing that God has for you.
I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame. When he came for me, I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me.
Father, I thank you that as we humble ourselves, Father, and we learn and we seek to understand your covenant better, Father, I thank you that your word says, go ahead and leave that on, Lord. If anyone lacks wisdom, all they have to do is ask, and you will give it to us liberally. Father, I thank you that your desire to bless us as if we had never sinned is far greater than our desire to do anything for you. Father, that, your love is so unconditional, Father. Help us to follow. But Father, I thank you as we humble ourselves, Father, you take us to a higher level. And Father, just like Jesus, he did everything to make us, the whole human race, back in right standing with you. And Father, help us to be so covenant-minded that we go out and we keep telling people about the covenant that you desire for them to walk in with you, Father. Father, that we pursue your descendants that have been told the lie. Father, we pursue them and bring them right back into the kingdom. Father, I know that we are in the last of the last days. And Father, I thank you that you have an anointing right now on this nation. Father, of revival. I thank you that revival is going through this nation. Father, I thank you that you are wooing people. You're calling them back. Father, I thank you that hearts are being softened. And I thank you, Father, for a great coming back into the kingdom of heaven. Father, I thank you that people come just as they are and receive everything that you have made available to us. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pronounce a blessing of prosperity, health, and healing, and long life over everyone that can hear my voice. And we receive it by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.